Planning a trip to the Baltimore, D.C. area? Bypass the hassles of JFK or LaGuardia and catch one of five daily Southwest Airlines nonstops from Long Island MacArthur Airport instead. It's a shorter drive with efficient lines, fewer hassles, less stress. And from the Baltimore Washington Airport, Southwest can connect you to more than 40 destinations in the U.S., Caribbean, and Mexico. Ready to fly through the airport on your next trip? Find out more at flymacarthur.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
This is LC from the LC and Jack Radio Show. Is this Frank?
It's P. Frank Williams, yes.
Yay, P. How are you? It's LC and the Bread Man. We had you on.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing? Good afternoon for you.
Good. How are you, man?
Oh, man. Too blessed to de-stress. Yeah, I got two
I know, man.
Ground,
congrats.
So definitely good situations is going, you know?
Congrats on the success since we've had you on, which is, man, I want to say it's probably about 3 or 4 years back now. We had you on. So congratulations on the success.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you're doing your thing, man.
Dedication, you know, yeah, hard work, dedication. Thanks for having me.
That's it. Absolutely. So I know we're going to jump right into it. How much time are you working with, just so I know as far as the clock? I don't want to tie you up.
Yeah, what's the time that you guys are thinking, like 15, 20 minutes? Something like that?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Okay. Yeah, something like that.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quick intro. You know, we're going to play this, you know, and bring it up on the next show. So,
okay.
You know, we're just taping it. So just bring it
up
and we'll go right into it. All right, hold on 1 second. Just put your hold and we'll get right into it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Listening to the LC and Jack Radio Show, live from New York. And now, here are your hosts, LC and Jack.
Welcome to the LC and Jack Radio Show with your man LC and the Bread Man. Welcome you to another edition of the show. It is unbelievable. Great time of year, Super Bowl, everything's going on now. Great time. You had the Grammys last night, so a lot of different things going on. But I tell you, Bread, it is great. We have a phenomenal guest who's joining us, coming back on the show.
Yes, sir.
He was on a little, you know, not too long ago. So we welcome him back onto the show. So why don't we jump right into it? How's that sound, Brett?
Sound like a plan.
All right, let's get to it. P. Frank Williams is an Emmy and NAACP Award winner. He's a TV, film, writer, journalist, author, and a commentator. P. Frank is the executive producer of the show Being on BET Centrics. He is also co-producer of the A&A series Who Killed Tupac. We are so pleased and welcome back to the LC and Jack Radio Show, Mr. P. Frank Williams.
Hey, gentlemen, how
Hello,
you doing,
P.
man?
Frank.
Thanks for having me. What's up?
How
what's
are
good?
You?
What's good? 2018. It's
chilling,
good, man.
That's
it, baby.
We're chilling.
chilling. Yes, guys over there on the East Coast, right? You in L.I.? Where you at?
Yep.
That's it, baby. We are back here out in New York.
Long
and
Island.
We know your roots from Newsday way back in the day.
Yeah, I'm still in my New York-ish. And it never stops.
That's it, baby.
I mean? Exactly.
Doing your thing. So
yeah. Yeah, all
wanted to circle back with you. Absolutely. We know you're doing some big things, so why don't we get right into it? Your series, I had an opportunity to check out Who Killed Tupac. I guess, first of all, the last time we had you on, we talked a lot about that. Whose idea of the show was it?
Well, the show came about through, you know, myself. I worked on a Tupac case back in the day when I was at the Source in the L.A. Times, but a friend of mine, Stephanie Frederick, who was also a BET journalist, was working with Benjamin Crump, who was the attorney for Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and a lot of different people. And so, you know, she thought, you know, Tupac had never really gotten a fair trial, kind of like Michael Brown and a lot of the other people that Ben had worked with. So, you know, we pitched them basically giving Tupac a real trial, like the real, you know, public, real situation that he never got. Because, you know, I don't know if you know, but no one has ever been charged with Tupac's murder, nor was there any trial or anything like that. So we wanted to put together something that went out and did, to some extent, what the police didn't do, which is interview all the witnesses, the friends, the family, the police, and do the most thorough investigation into the murder of Tupac Shakur that ever happened. And so that's what we did, you know. And it was a 6-part episode series that ran in November and December of 2017. It was really well, you know, received, and it was a good project, man. I just, you know, as a person who met Tupac in real life, it was good to just see him get that kind of props and get that love, because nobody else had really done that. And it was part biography and part investigative piece.
It was a job well done, my brother. I had a chance to see it all. How long did it, and how difficult was it? I mean, you got a lot of the street people to come out and speak. How difficult was it to get the guests? I know some of them looked a little apprehensive.
Well, no, I mean, there's 21 years since Tupac Shakur was murdered, and there's a reason why there's never one been tried or anything like that, because there's so much drama, and, you know, a lot of people have gotten killed as a result of that shooting, and so it's a very tense situation. So, you know, I had to go through the homeboy, and, you know, really figure it out and really hit the streets. That's not the kind of stuff you can do just on the phone or trying to, you know. The fact that I've been at the Source,
absolutely,
and produced a lot of other shows, I think, and was connected in the business really helped with the credibility of it.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it was tough, but I think, you know, with all the people who love Tupac Shakur, I think we owed it to him as one of the more iconic performers ever, not just from a hip-hop perspective, but period.
Absolutely. Like I said, I thought it was, he gave a different angle. Even with the part that I liked that was the way Tupac was murdered, you actually reenacted that. And I thought that was pretty cool. You had the blow-up dummies. And,
right,
you know, because it's a couple different, you know, people said, oh, he was shot this way. And so I really give you kudos for really just giving, you know, because I've seen several of these. But you gave more of a different spin to it. You know,
I
yeah, you gave the bio.
I think what we tried to take all of the theories. You know, some people said Suge Knight did it. Some people said Orlando Anderson did it. Some people said it was the government, you know what I mean? Some people said it was insiders at Death Row Records. So we took all of the most credible theories about what happened to him and basically investigated them all and, you know, debunked the ones that we thought, you know, like Suge. A lot of people thought Suge had something to do with it. And through our investigation, it seemed highly unlikely that a man sitting next to you would take all those bullets and that risk. And obviously, you know, no matter what he did on the business situation with Tupac, I do think Suge had empathy and loved Tupac. And so, you know, for me, it was really for the fans. It was a love letter to the fans and Tupac Shakur. Just unlike, you know, just like any other young African-American man over the last hundreds of years in America, doesn't get his due justice. And so we really wanted to do that, you know, and basically give his trial on camera, the trial that he never got.
Absolutely. Like I said, I thought it was really, really well done. And actually coming up with the, you know, who you thought had killed him, you know,
well, I mean,
the
at the end of the day, I think most people, you know, and no matter what people say, and, you know, not as if I was there, so I can't, say.
Right.
But I will say that, you know, we basically, you know, said that Orlando Anderson had did it, and he obviously got murdered, and we actually found the gun and, you know, noted that the gun had been found by LAPD and some type of way that gun never made it to Vegas, which is all very suspicious.
Crazy.
So at the end of the day,
crazy.
You know, it is, I'm pretty certain that Orlando Anderson was the shooter of Tupac Shakur based on some events that had transpired earlier in the evening, as well as ongoing beef between the Crips and the Bloods, the Southside Crips, and, you know, the Pyrus, which Shook was a part of. And, you know, unfortunately to me, the bigger point out of all of this is the fact that Tupac Shakur, though one of the most well-known performers at the time, for sure, and in history, was another victim of black-on-black gun violence. And, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, people realize that, and some of his actions may have cost him his life. So you just want to be careful about, you know, mixing with the wrong element and putting yourself in situations, which is what unfortunately cost that young man his life.
Unfortunately, yeah. So you did the Tupac series with A&E, and you had an opportunity to work with Benjamin Crump, who's the well-known, like you said earlier, attorney. Do you think about doing some other series with A&E in this type of aspect?
We're in the midst of talking about that now. There's a number of other high-profile situations that happened, and I think, you know, hopefully in the next few weeks you'll be hearing about that.
Can't,
it was a pleasure to work with Ben.
You can't leak it yet.
Yeah, no, you can't. But no, I mean, it was good. And I think,
he's like,
you know,
nah, you're not getting it from me.
Yeah, yeah. They they were happy with the young people who watched and the social media part of it, and I think we're able to get a millennial generation who weren't necessarily around from an adult perspective when Tupac was alive, but it gave them a chance to see the biography part, I think, really helped. And I think Ben, really being a lawyer, actually talking to people and, you know, really he brought a credibility to it. And, you know, obviously me, myself, actually being at the hospital when Tupac died and all of that, and being there and being on camera as a reporter was a different thing for me, but it was good because I think it helped, you know, because Ben was not in the hip-hop world, but along with myself, we made a good team in the scenes that we were in.
Absolutely. Great. Like I said, phenomenal. And I know we know you work with Unsung. Is that something that you still actively
Unsung
working with?
Unsung is 100% active. I just did two episodes about Ice-T, which aired last year. I got an episode about Ray J that's coming on in a few months, and I got some more really iconic hip-hop groups, some of the more seminal ones from New York, 90s, late 80s era, that are going to jump off in the next few months, and we're going to be announcing them. And, you know, Unsung has been, I can't even tell you how much of a wealth of fun for me personally, but also for the fans. We're on like almost our 200th episode. We won our 6th NAACP Image Award this year, and the show really just, you know, spotlights and gives love to a lot of African-American singers and rappers and performers and jazz artists and blues artists who never got that due, and now with Unsung Hollywood television and film and comedy. And so I'm thankful to be a part of the franchise, man. And Unsung, we're just going to keep riding until the wheels fall off and hopefully get to episode 500. You know what I mean? And it's been a blessing.
Keep doing it, man. I love Unsung. It's more from a, I don't say a black perspective, but it's more from a, you know, from a perspective that our people appreciate more than some of the other ones done on some of the other networks.
Well, I mean,
not the knock.
It's behind the music. Yeah, I mean, it's behind the music for black people. And, you know, there's a lot of groups that we put on there who, you know, Houdini, you know, Full Force, or, you know, certain people who would have never got a behind the music. And so as I travel around the country and the world, the people that respond to me the most about the shows that I've done is definitely Unsung and American Gangster, because there's such a cult following of them. And, you know, a lot of times African Americans in those situations don't get our stories told. So we've been really fortunate with the show. And, you know, we're wrapping on season 9 now, which is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, we had on the show the gentleman, Avery, I can't think of his other name right off the top, that does some narration on the phone, on the show, or give some background. Can't think of his. Can you think of his name, Brad? I can't think of his last name. It's Avery's first name, I believe. And we had him on the show. And he's a journalist. He does a great job giving a background on some of the artists that come on.
Yeah, you know, he's great. And he obviously, you might want Gary Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah, Gary is the narrator. He's been on the show pretty much from the beginning. So, no, he's a great guy. And he does a bunch of commercials and acting as well. And He's become the voice of Unsung and killing it.
Loving it. Loving it. Well, so that's good. We're great to hear that, you know, you continue to roll that. And then you have a, at least as far as I know, a newer series, tell me if I'm wrong, on BET Centrics, which is kind of changing from what I'm understanding to BET Her, I believe.
Yeah, no, I did a few seasons of the show, Being, which aired there. Now I'm doing a new series on BET called Rock Rants, which I'm producing for TMZ. This is what my current project is, which is Rock Rants, which is a half-hour music and hip-hop show based on, you know, one of the talent from TMZ. And so she now has her – it was previously an internet show, Rock Rants from Raquel Harper, and now it's about to be a show, 12 episodes on BET, which is coming out later this year. So that's what I'm currently doing, and, you know, I'm still actively pursuing hopefully the continuation to American Gangster will be coming to you soon. I think people thought that American Gangster should have kept going. And so I'm doing
absolutely
that project with one of the more prominent DJs in the history of hip-hop, and to bring the 90s and 2000s and 2010 stories of underground street world to, you know, to the world. And so looking definitely to bring American Gangster back, which was one of my favorite series, just in a kind of a remix kind of situation. So doing that, man, and, you know, just trying to stay relevant out here in these streets and keep doing my thing.
Well, you're definitely doing it. Like I said, we had to loop up with you because you're doing, you know, you've done, I mean, I didn't even mention half the stuff that you've, the accomplishments that you've had over the years, you know, just for the sake of time. But you've just done so many of the award shows and, you know, just great to see you really progressing. And it
no,
looks
man,
like
it's good.
You've
got to stay focused, man. You know, I mean, it's just it's good to, I think this has never been a better time for content creators, number one, especially people of color. I mean, you can watch the Grammys, you know, last night, and even though enough hip-hop artists didn't win, we were in all the major categories. And hip-hop is the predominant culture and the number one music on the globe. And for me, who started out hip-hop, you know, back in the early 80s and was like a real b-boy with, you know, bringing my little carpet to, you know, and cardboard to lunch, you know, dance at lunchtime. I didn't ever think that, you know, it'll be a global phenomenon. And, you know what I mean? And me and doing this on such a level, you know, and to watch how hip-hop has transformed the globe, it's great. And so for us who come from that, you know, all these different shows on from Empire to Netflix to different things that are happening based on hip-hop culture just shows you how powerful it is. And there's never been a better time to be a person of color, especially black, you know, producing, writing, directing, you know what I mean, from Insecure to whatever it is. So it's a blessing, man. Wake up and do what I want. I know what it's like to go deliver steel during the late day or work at UPS, and not saying either one of those is not, you know, great jobs, but sometimes you have to keep going to go after your dreams, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right about that. What out there, what, so you gave us a good idea of certain things. Would you like to be doing big screen stuff as well outside of doing the TV
things? Ironically, I just came from Atlanta. I'm producing a film called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. It's about a DJ whose girlfriend breaks up with him on the air and becomes sort of an overnight celebrity because of it, and meets a new girl, and the new girl's boyfriend is not so happy about that. So it's a romantic comedy that we are shooting in March in Atlanta, doing that project, doing another project, like a Mississippi death row case. And then the one that, you know, I think I spoke to you previously, which is my baby, my passion project, which is the story of Roger Troutman and Zapp. And so that is in motion
absolutely
right now and getting close. And, you know, he was an iconic performer who was a funk musician, but really set the stage for DJ Quick and Dr. Dre and Tupac and Snoop in terms of West Coast funk and More Bounce, Computer Love, I Want to Be Your Man, all of that. And so that's, you know, hopefully that's for next year. So, yeah, man, you know, I just want to get my Jerry Bruckheimer on, man. I just bounce back and forth between TV and film and do some digital stuff or whatever, man. It's just telling stories, whatever it is. And, you know, thankfully hip-hop has taken me from East Oakland and all around the world. So I'm super blessed, my brother.
You're doing it, man. You got a lot of fans here in the audience. Got a big response the last time you were on. That's why we had to hit you up, show you some love.
No, I appreciate
and,
it, man. Shout out to you guys for keeping the culture alive, my brothers. It's beautiful to see that. And, you know, I'd love to see you guys in person at some point when I'm bought in the NY. You know, right now, not right now, a little too cold for me right now. But, I'll be back. So, I mean, give me a strength. Give me like 50-something, 60, and then you'll be all right. I saw it was real quick a couple of weeks ago. I'm good. I'm going to get with this L.A. Sunshine right now. So,
what you got, Brad, before we wrap? What you got for
Where's he at? Where's he at? Arkansas? Are you in Memphis? Where you at right now?
Oh, me?
Yeah, where you at right now?
No. I'm in LA now. I was.
Oh, okay, LA. Okay. Because I'm about to go home, so I said I might have to come through, but that's a little bit too far for me anyway.
ATL, so catch me in ATL in March a lot, and you know I'm still back and forth for NY. But no, you know it's a 78, 80 degree day here in LA, just to make you jealous.
Understood.
You know what I mean? So you know,
thanks a lot.
Yeah, window down. It's a good situation. So.
No problem. Yeah, but definitely, I appreciate you coming on. But I'm gonna send you something in the email because I got a story I want you to check out. I don't know if you heard of it, the Kenneth Chamberlain Senior story, the Marine from White Plains that was gunned down in his own home. You know, see if you could look at that and see if maybe down the road you can put that into a documentary because. Along with Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown, a lot of these stories got a lot of headlines, you know, and Tupac and Biggie and all that. Those people that I've known from afar, but this person I know personally, and that's why it really affects me because I grew up with his son. And I'll send you the information. You check it out, and you know, I'll hook you
made
up
news
with,
here in New York.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, made news here in New York.
And like most black men's stories. Of being shot down by the police, you know, it gets pushed under the rug. Nobody's getting indicted and all that stuff. So, you know, maybe you can bring some light to it. You know what I'm saying? Get the truth
That's
out.
Awesome. That's
you know,
awesome.
Even the truth, we all know the truth, but the truth is always being suppressed by no one being accountable, you know? But
okay.
I'll definitely send that to you, okay?
That sounds fantastic, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Oh, man, we appreciate you, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, no problem, man.
So
thanks
again,
for having me, man. I appreciate you. Yeah, let's stay up. And hopefully when I come to town and do something in person on camera, that'll work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'll work.
It's all good. So thanks for joining the show. We're going to talk to you real soon.
And you can check me out at P. Frank Williams on all social media. And my website, www.profitfromit.com, PROPHETFROMIT.com. And at P. Frank Williams, PFRANKWILLIAMS. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. You got to get your social up. That's what the youngsters, the millennials told me. So I got to do it. You know?
Absolutely. We're gonna put it out there for you. We're going to shoot this over to you as well so you have the link. And like I said, thanks again. We're going to talk to you real soon. Continue your great work. And we'll keep pushing you out there, doing your thing, baby.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
All good. Oh, another great guest there, Brett.
Yes, sir.
Doing his thing. And I tell you, man, it's just sad to hear, you know, and, you know, your friend passing and Trayvon, you know, just all those stories that need, the stories that haven't been told, though, the ones, though, that are, it's even more painful. What's so bad about it is that these stories have the ones that have been told that you know about. It's either people have gotten off, and everyone knows that. Everyone thinks that they're guilty, or you know the story's told,
mm-hmm.
but you know it's like,
well,
what's going on here?
Yeah,
nobody's accountable.
I mean, you can get locked up for jaywalking, you know, crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? That's what the separation, the difference is crazy on how things work because of, you know, that racism, that card, man. It's a mean card, you know, when it's handed out like that. It's very, very
crazy, man. But yeah,
that we have to go through this still. You know, even though we're fighting and we're progressing and moving on, there's still room for improvement. You know, and lately we've been getting a couple of steps backwards in certain instances, which shouldn't be, you know. So, like I said, we got to keep on the grind and not let things get us down and keep moving, because we can't go backwards, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And it doesn't help that, you know, we have a president that sets the tone for people to just do things that are not right.
They get brave all of a sudden, like, okay, yeah, we're going back to these days up there. You know?
Yeah, you have the minority of people that are prejudiced and just don't like people other than them. And now he makes it seem like, yeah, you can just go ahead and do what you want, even though it's not right. So we moved past that. And you know what? This world isn't perfect, but when your leadership is pointing the country in the right, in the wrong direction, then, you know, all the work that's been done over the years to, you know, bring us so far, but it seems like, yeah, of course we know we still have a ways to go, but it's even more challenging now, because if you almost feel like we're going backwards, which we are.
Yeah.
You know, you just had a black president. Everyone very excited and pumped up, and listen, our country's moving forward. And then we do a 360 and put someone in that's totally against, you know,
all
what people of color. Yeah, just progress, absolutely. So, very frustrating. But they always say it's always the will of the people. You saw that last night at the Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, you got that. You got that. Yeah, you know, you got that me movement. You know, I'm all about, you know, about women banding together and.
Yeah.
And they made their voice heard last night.
Yeah, but the thing is still a separation, because look at all the people that are on our level, is, you know, hard working blue collar workers or white collar workers. They're being taken down, a lot of them on accusations and true facts and evidence or whatever have you. But still, the government, people in government that are being accused, they're still walking around scot free. And that's a separation right there. I mean, that gap has to be closed, because all these people just doing stuff or being caught or being accused of stuff, you know, they've been putting on notice or resigning or what have you. But the main ones, I mean, the main ones that has told on themselves, ain't nothing being done. That's the problem. You know, that's where the progress there is being left out, you know. So, I mean, they can Me Too all they want, but unless it hits where it needs to be hit, you know, it's still going to be going on. And, you know, they're supposed to be changing the rules in government, this, that, and the other. Okay, you can change all the rules that you want, but these other people are being victimized or have been victimized, and there's nothing happening. Meanwhile, these other people that have done stuff and has been convicted or what have you, you know, it's been taken care on that, but it has to be taken care on all levels, so we're all human beings regardless.
Absolutely. I agree with that, man. I mean, I agree that women shouldn't be victimized like they are, but like you said, it is separating us.
Yes,
it is. Separating us, and I think women are, just like African Americans, I don't put them in the same boat, but they used to, you know, put African, you know, minorities, include women in there, is that we wouldn't have the right opportunity. And, you know, a lot of these women have been victimized, whether it be sexually, you know, or verbally, you know, victimized. Yep, absolutely. But, you know, things are changing. And, you know, I mean, us as black men, you know, we look at it like, yo, this is at least us being verbally and mentally being abused and physically. Mm-hmm. We get it. You know, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. But this is nothing new for us.
Mm-mm. At all.
I mean, we were raped. Our women were raped, murdered, and you know, we're not condoning what some of the stuff that's been done. You know, you had Scott Baio who's recently been accused, and you know, and not justifying anything here, but when you've been through it and nobody would do anything, it's like, you know, you look at things differently. That's why, you know, black people have a totally different view on a lot of things, just because our experiences, what we deal with every day.
Yeah, not no doubt.
Our life, absolutely. And so, you know, but definitely, you know what's happening in Michigan. We talked about that last week a little bit. It's, you know, I'm just surprised that, like they're saying now, Brett, all the covering up. But, you know, it's pretty amazing that for that long, 20 years, he victimized so many girls.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. You know, just like the family, they had the 13 kids. Same thing. I mean, we can just go on and on.
You got one last night. Did you hear about it?
Yeah.
The apartment in the Bronx.
Yeah. Yeah, the 5-year-old kid. Oh, man, we were talking about that. I mean, and then one was an MTA driver and one was a nurse. It's like, what are you thinking about? What is going on? These people,
kids. And one of them has, I guess, but maggots or something in this under the skin. I was like, whoa.
The thing is, these people are not poor or can't make ends meet. These people are everyday people that's making ends meet. So what's the disconnect? You know?
It's crazy. There's
something sick. Because you would think, oh, these people are living in hard times and, you know, got to do what they got to do and neglect and overlooking their child. That happened. Still doesn't condone it. But these people are well-to-do, working hard, and just abandoned the little 5-year-old, and they had other kids, too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was deprived. So it's like,
this world is you know,
what's going on with these people, man. You can't watch everything, but Jesus. No excuse for it, though.
Absolutely. So it's definitely, we have to keep working. And the great thing is that it seems like people are starting to come together. I mean, we're coming together. I remember during 9/11, and for those listening that wasn't around at that time or they're very little, I mean, during that time, everyone came together. I don't care what color, size, shape you were.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone put out their hand to help one another. And we have to do that. It shouldn't be just during a major catastrophe there, which 9/11 was. It should be all the time looking to help one another. We do that, would just be so much of a better place. And don't get us wrong, America is a great place. And to me, I don't buy into the make America great again. We are great.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? We got flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at ourselves to make ourselves better.
Yeah.
We're already a great country.
Did you get a chance to see the Conan Visit Haiti episode last night? If you didn't, get a chance on YouTube, man. It was awesome. It was pretty up to date because he was down there during the government shutdown, so it was recent. And, man, let me tell you, I have much respect for him and what he did. He went and, you know, he made a parody of what Trump said about Haitian people, and he went to show all Americans are not like that. I mean, he went from
the kids in the school, to the little girls, to the street people, the cabbies, to just everyday people. I mean, you got a whole wave of people that he interviewed to, you know, kind of apologize, you know, because all Americans, especially white Americans, are not like that. And the way he did it was so much fun, man. I was really impressed, you know, what he did, you know, because you got to do that, man. Because that's a lasting image. That's a lasting image, you know, because when we was in the military, every place we went to, we was ambassadors, so we was always in our best behavior, you know, to the utmost, you know. And at certain times, you know, you get people who get a little liquor in them, you know, we try to curtail them, but you know, when you go abroad, man, you shed light on who you are, especially Americans. You know, we didn't have social media and this, that, and the other back then, so, you know, we was the ambassadors of wherever we went. So what he did is he went to Haiti to be ambassador for what, you know, Trump had said about Haiti and try to correct it, and he did a very good job, man. If anybody can check that out, Conan in Haiti, check it out, man. It was a good one. Good episode. I really enjoyed it.
That's what's good.
That's what we need. That's what we need, man. People to, you know, mend bridges that have been burnt down by foolish people, you know, so we can be well received, you know, around the globe like we've always been.
Absolutely. So we got some other guests coming down the pike here, Brad.
Yes, sir.
We're going to reach, yeah, we waiting to get some confirms on some times. Don't forget to reach out to Atlantic Star. We'd love to get them.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I know they did a unsung on them. I don't think P. Frank did that one, but I know there was an unsung done. And got some other people out there. So make sure you stay tuned, as each and every week we will bring great radio to you. So, with that said, you got any shout-outs or anything, Brad, before we wrap it?
Yes, sir. I'm about to hit the road, man, do my little five-week tour around the globe.
I know you are. Where you headed?
Yeah, I'm heading down to Alabama first. Got to drop off a fundraiser down there. Then I'm heading down to Atlanta. I'm going to Texas, Louisville, Texas. Got an art show down there, Dallas, Texas, Lake Susie, Florida. And before I come back to New York, I know I'm supposed to be shooting out to Lake Tahoe. My man, Michael Antelon, his wife, he's throwing his wife a 50th birthday party out in Lake Tahoe. And I'm going to be out there with them for that weekend before the cocktail sip in March. You know, so I'm going to be out there winding and grinding, taking out my boy, Randy Gamble, and the crew, and my man Dennis Armstrong, who I haven't seen since Desert Storm. I'm going to check him out. He's going to be in the Dallas area, so I'm going to get to see my homeboy from VP4. And my man, who else is out there? I got my man Dorian Webster. I'm going to check him out in McKinley, Texas. And my girl Charm Street, catch up with her, Tina Bates. I'm going to catch up with my man Antonio Albright down in Jacksonville, and my man Cell Rock's brother, Fonzo. Take him out in Jacksonville. Sorry didn't make it to the Super Bowl. They had a chance. I'm going to check him out down there in Jayville when I do my roaming. I'm going to give a shout-out to my potential fundraiser friend, Miss Pat Brown, down there in Roselle, New Jersey, to send her a little package to do a fundraiser for her women's group. Going to check out my homegirl Regina Ann Griffin down in Dallas, Texas. Melinda Thornton down in Jacksonville. Hope to see you guys. Oh, Miss Cetrus Cole and her daughter Kennedy out there in Memphis, Tennessee. Going to shout y'all out. Hopefully I get to come through and see you guys. And, you know, the Bread Man's about to hit the road, baby, to the world tour.
I hear you. Well, be safe out there, Brad, if I don't talk to you before you hit the road. And, you know, March, if you're down to ATL, hit my man P. Frank, because he's going to be down filming. But one of these days, we will definitely catch up with him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's a good brother doing his thing. And so we got to support him. People are doing great things. We need to get behind them. So with that said, stay safe, stay sound. God bless.
Peace.
Intro.
You are listening to the LC and Jack Radio Show, live from New York. And now, here are your hosts, LC and Jack.
Show with your man LC and the Bread Man holding you down up close and personal. Urban Talk Radio. Well, thanks again for joining us for another edition of the LC and Jack Radio Show, where we bring to you great radio. Give us a shout here in the studio. You can reach us live and direct at area code 347-843-4738. Well, we always promise great guests, and today is no different there, Brad. Another icon, man, doing his thing in the TV, film, movie, you name it, he's doing it. Well, it's time for our guest, Brad. Why don't we get right at it? Our guest today is P. Frank Williams, who is an Emmy and P. Frank Williams is an Emmy and NAACP award-winning TV film. P. Frank Williams is an Emmy. Our guest is an Emmy and NAACP award-winning TV and film producer. P. Frank Williams is an Emmy and NAACP award-winning TV film producer, writer, journalist, and author. He is also the executive producer of the show Being on BET Centric. He also co-produced the A&E series Who Killed Tupac. We are so pleased to welcome back to the LC and Jack Radio Show, Mr. P. Frank Williams.
Whether it's your morning routine or spring cleaning routine, Target's got you covered. Stock up now and get a free gift card when you buy select items like Pantene, Crest, Charmin, or Tide. Some restrictions apply. Whether it's your morning routine or spring cleaning routine, Target's got you covered. Stock up now and get a free gift card when you buy select items like Pantene, Crest, Charmin, or Tide. Some restrictions apply.